each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. I'm Loretta Freilich, and I am guest hosting on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ for Father Anthony. I'm usually here today with my co-host, but I'm flying solo, and so I look forward to Mary Fiorito being back with us next week. As we are listening, closing arguments in the Derek Chauvin trial regarding the death of George Floyd are going on right now. So we want to just pray for the jury that they reach a just and true verdict. We want to pray for the city of Minneapolis and adjoining Brooklyn Center that there be peace and calm regardless of the outcome. And we also want to pray for the city of Chicago as protests continue in the wake of the death of Adam Toledo. Our guests today are two amazing women. We will be joined in the second half of the program by Elizabeth Yore. And Liz will join us talking about the upcoming Vatican Health Conference. And wait till you hear who those speakers are. It's worth staying on. But first, we have an amazing woman. And we want to give God some glory and welcome Jacqueline Hayes to the program. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm grand. How about yourself?
Fine, thank you. I'm excited to be able to talk with you today. Thank you for inviting me.
It's my privilege. I can tell you a mutual friend introduced us, Kathy Donahue, former CEO of Catholic Charities. And ever from the moment I met you, you're just so electric and your gifts just flow so great for God. I thought you would be a perfect guest on Winds of Change. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? We know you're a commercial realtor, right?
Yeah, I do retail leasing primarily on Michigan Avenue and Oak Street, and that's suffering at the present time, as you all know, with the pandemic causing a lot of reversal in downtown activity, particularly Michigan Avenue, retailers, hotels, tourists, everything like that. But I have been a very busy and successful real estate broker on the Avenue, Michigan Avenue and Oak Street, and it allowed me to live comfortably with the income that I earned. And I can share a story.
Sure.
About in 1999, the city closed Lower Wacker Drive, where a lot of the homeless were living, in November of 1999. And a number of those people started coming and living in the doorways on Michigan Avenue of the spaces that I was leasing. Mm-hmm. And I told them, please, get out of here. You're going to hurt my business. And I felt so guilty after that because this is where they felt safe.
Right.
And here I'm taking them away. I was and still am, I was an officer and a director. I'm still a director of the Magnificent Mile Association, and I had gone to them. And I said, we have to do something about this because this is what the tourists see when they come to Chicago. And, you know, this is so unfair that they live in doorways. And they said, well, we don't have staff at this time. And I said, well, if I start something, would you back me? And they said, of course. And so what happened is that I gathered together various organizations. At that time, it was called the Magnificent Mile, Greater North Michigan Avenue Association, and the Cedarville Organization of Active Residents, and the River North Association and Northwestern Hospital, Holy Name, Fourth Press, and Catholic Charities. And we met for once a month and created a two-sided card of how that we could hand out, give to the homeless to help them know what to do with themselves. After it was done, as I said, it took us a year to get it done. And after it was done, everybody said, "Oh, you work so we work so well together. Let's do housing." And I thought, "Holy cow! You would do a card. I can imagine how long it would take us to do housing." And I was very, very blessed. Monsignor Bolin, who was the then president of Catholic Charities, offered me his dining hall at Catholic Charities on LaSalle Street. And so the first meal was served in March of 2001. Mm-hmm. And we have served, up to the pandemic, we've served about 20,000 meals from that time. The pandemic, when the pandemic came along, we could not have 200 people in a dining hall. Mm-hmm. So we had to shift. And so now what we are doing is with our volunteers and sponsors, et cetera, we ask them to deliver a bag meal to us that we take and deliver to places of need around the city. So of late, we've been collecting 4,500 bag meals, and we take them to 22 different locations around the city. Now, our original mission was to help those who are homeless and disadvantaged, and because some of the people did have housing, but they moved from, they live with their brother, and then their brother kicked them out, and they live with their sister or whatever, and they kept moving around, or they lived in shelters and stuff. And what happened is that we, after 9 months, after they were coming to the meal at the facilities of Catholic Charities on LaSalle Street, I wanted them to fill out a survey for me. Doing it, and I thought, "Hey guys, we were buddies. Why aren't you doing? We can't read." So then we started an adult learning program, and in that program, we have reading, writing, math, computers, and creative writing. Some of the guests are amazingly intelligent; others are in great need. So wherever we see a need, we try and do a program. And what we've been very fortunate to do. The Chicago Help Initiative, never claimed to be an expert in anything, so we would call on the experts in certain fields. Mm-hmm. Like the night ministry was coming to our meals and doing HIV testing and hepatitis C testing for us. We had interns from Northwestern Hospital come and do blood pressure screenings, et cetera. We had representatives from the CURA program that would come and tell our guests about potential jobs and job training. So we would get all of these people together in order to help. And what that ended up doing, it really ended up building a sense of self-worth with our guests. And it's amazing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a lot of organizations that provide food for those in need. It's just an important factor. But that is just one element of helping people get off the street. What we discovered is with all these other programs, we instilled in them a sense of self-worth, and it motivated them to go to the next step. And we have been fortunate over the years to get at least 10 people off the street into jobs and housing. It doesn't sound like very much, but it's just an amazing number of people that it's hard for them to change their habits and their manners. In fact, there was a program that we were involved with Catholic Charities, and it was called Streets to Home. And we would interview people and get them into housing. And what would happen is that they would get into housing, but they would still go back and visit their friends on the street because that was their life.
Yes,
they would home and sleep, but they would spend their days where they had sat and panhandled before or whatever because that's what they knew. So it's a very complex situation, and it's now aggravated greatly by the pandemic because there are so many people that had jobs that were paid paycheck to lived paycheck to paycheck, and they lost their jobs, and they're fortunately in some housing. But when the moratorium is over, they're going to have to pay that rent back, and they're not going to be able to do it. So we're going to have an increased number of homeless people, and so we will need to work harder at helping people. And it's a very interesting circumstance. I never was able to tell who benefited more, the guests that we fed and helped with programs or the volunteers, because to help somebody else is a very powerful experience as well. The value that we exchange with, we're a family. Those that need the help and those that give it, we are a family. And it's a very amazing experience. I'm sorry, I just sort of babble on.
You're not babbling on, Jackie. Your information is fabulous. And, you know, you talked about having, you can't have the suppers because of the pandemic. So you shifted gears and you went to bag meals. What other ways has the pandemic affected your programs, and how have you shifted those programs to meet the needs of your guests?
We're unable to have them in settings, quite honestly, mm-hmm. because we can't have groups, because we can't do our adult learning program or whatever. We had an art class, we had chair yoga, we had all kinds of things, and we can't do that because we can't gather people together. Fortunately, we still provide our hot meal on Wednesday, but we have to put it in to-go containers and hand it out. So we are able to see some of our friends and talk with them. We have phone numbers for some of them. They have our numbers. We have emails for others, et cetera. So we are able to communicate, but it's just not like it was. And the thing that is so terribly amazing is that everybody still... Well, two of our former guests are now volunteers with us. They have been able to shift into a much more positive role. And on Wednesday, when we put the hot-to-go meals together, we can have 10 people in the dining hall to do that. And two of those people are former guests of ours. Because it's really important for them to be able to show that they are able and capable of helping others now.
Praise and God. So true.
You know, yeah. We just want to keep it going. And we had attempted, Looking Glass Theater, we had an arts and culture program.
Yes.
And what we did with that is we identified 20 of our guests, and we took them to an arts and culture program. One of our bigger partners in that was Looking Glass Theater. Andy White was a speaker, an MC at a benefit that I was attending. And after he did his little MCing role, he walked around the room and said hello to everybody. And, of course, I grabbed a hold of him and some plays available to our guests. And he said, sure. So he arranged for them to see a play, and it was at Looking Glass. And he arranged for them to talk to the director and the performers, and I arranged to have food brought in. Another person went as the chaperone. I was unable to go that day. And the next day, Andy called me and he said, Jackie, you'll never guess what happened. Oh, my God. And I thought, holy cow, what happened? Did something, you know, terrible. And he said, no. The conversation was so good between us that we made a subtle change to the play. The play was about day laborers. So it was very interesting that they did have some input. So what he did is that group of 20 had season's passes for 2 years.
Wow.
Looking Glass. Now, they saw the plays at Looking Glass. They saw them at Victory Gardens. They saw them at, they went on the boat ride, the architectural boat tour. They've gone to the Smart Museum. And, you know, it's been amazing, just amazing. One of the other things that I'll share with you is one of my neighbors is an expert on Ernest Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
And said, hey, would you come and talk to my guests? And she said, sure. So she came, and we had in our adult learning program, we had about 40 people. And so there were about 40 people that listened to this expert on Ernest Hemingway. And she did her usual routine, and then she opened it up to questions, et cetera, and so that was that. She left, and they went. And we had provided them with their dinner. That evening, she called me, and she said, you know, I want to share with you my experience. I said, yeah, what? She said, I travel the world, and I give the same talk all around the world, and your people ask the most intelligent questions. So, I mean, they are, you know, sometimes when people see a homeless person or somebody who's down and out, you think of them as stupid. That's not the case.
No.
The case at all. And so we were motivated. I had seen in the newspaper that there was a documentary that had been produced by a woman regarding Mother Cabrini.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a member of Assumption Church, and Mother Cabrini was involved with my church. And I suggested to our pastor that we should see that. And he arranged for her to come and show the documentary in our church basement and stuff. And it was just an amazing document. She was an amazing woman. Holy cow. But I approached Lucia Morrow, and I said, hey, have you ever considered doing a documentary about the homeless? And so she said, well, she would consider it. And I said, well, why don't you come and see what we do? So here she's coming to see the Chicago Health Initiative, and she's walking into the facilities of Catholic Charities. That's the first puzzle. She walks into the room, and I introduce her to this woman who is in charge, was in charge of our arts program.
Mm-hmm.
And she's Fine Eye Chicago. And then in walks one of a provider.
A provider.
And it was the guy from the Night Ministry. And she's going, oh, my gosh. So she was really impressed with it. And before you know it, I had her doing work in the room, handing out stuff and things of that nature. And so we created the documentary.
Yes.
And it's called I Have a Name.
Well, Jackie, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about your exciting documentary, I Have a Name, that won Best Documentary at the 2020 Mirabile Dictu International Catholic Film Festival at the Vatican. This is Loretta Frelick, guest host on listener-supported Winds of Change, 750 AM WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
We are the students of St. Stan's LaCosta Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to eighth grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
I'm guest host Loretta Frelick. Loretta Freilich on listener-supported Winds of Change, 750 AM WNDZ. And we're talking with Jackie Hayes from Chicago Health Initiative about her work with the homeless. And we are talking now about her exciting documentary, I Have a Name. Jackie, I have to tell you, I was so impressed when I saw the documentary. And I told you, was just more impressed, or the most impressed, with the fact that I couldn't tell the guests from the service providers. It was such a beautiful representation of the work that you do, but the dignity that everyone is afforded, and the beauty that you're collaborating with them, and your documentary showed all different aspects of the service that your organization provides. And I honestly can tell you, it was sometimes difficult to tell your guests from your providers. Talk to me about the documentary.
Well, as I said, we did. Lucia was impressed with our partnerships that we had. And she wanted to showcase that. And so she did divide it into categories like housing and so on and so on, and education and so on and so forth. And so, again, we have people that were, Denise Sutherland was the person who does the chair yoga, but then even some of the people in her class were talking. So we have all of that, and it's true that you just can't tell one from the other. But as I said earlier, we really have, having had this experience for almost 20 years, and some of those same people were with, had been with us for about 20 years, volunteers and or guests. We are a family, and again, I guess that came across, and I hopefully it came across in the documentary. And what's happened right now is, as I said, everybody is missing it terribly. Some of our volunteers are so bereft because that was part of their life.
Yes.
And they can't participate any longer in that way. Yeah, they can make donations, et cetera, but it's not the same experience as interfacing with somebody else and knowing that you cause them to smile or feel good, or vice versa, that they make you laugh or whatever.
Right.
And that we are all human, and sometimes you never know why somebody is on the street or is in that difficult situation. And what would happen, the general public sometimes just makes an opinion, a judgment. Oh, all they have to do is get a job. They don't understand
right.
that if they lost their identification, they can't get a job without IDs and stuff like that. And you have to get that. And if you don't know how to do it, you're stymied, et cetera.
And it costs money to get identification.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is a story.
Right.
And there are ways to bring happy endings to stories, but it does take time and commitment. And both the guests and the volunteers had made commitments to each other. And right now, all of our lives have been upended with the pandemic, and it involves both our guests and our volunteers right now too.
Yeah.
And
now,
it's so cool.
Tell me about how the film won the best documentary.
Lucia entered it into a couple of film festivals around the world, actually. And so we did win the one in the Vatican for our best documentary. And it's probably understandable because the Pope himself has been a great supporter of the homeless. And so that might have, you know, that documentary really might have gotten his attention as well as the other people that view and make decisions about documentaries. We did win another award in Atlanta, but it was just a silver award, not a gold award. So, and we're waiting to hear back from a number of other organizations, one in India, and one, so she submitted all over. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But the goal, really, and we want to make this available to a lot of people to see, because we want people to understand that with, I don't know how to explain it, the openness that
sure.
we deal with each other, it really brings about a positive change.
Right.
So Where and we want
a, I'm sorry, where you we you want what?
Well, we are working with it with now that we've been bringing these bag meals to various other locations. Some of them are senior housing and some of them are churches on the south side and the west side. And they are asking us to help them create the same setting in their locations.
Sure.
So we did that with Holy Trinity, which is in the Bucktown area, and they now provide a meal every Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's just for a smaller group, but it's only like for 25 where we did for 200.
Sure.
But we want other people to help make change from
sure.
everybody's own.
Now, where can someone see this documentary? Is it available to the public yet? Or
well, we can make it available. I do have a link that I can share with you. Or let's say, why don't we go to Jay Hayes at ChicagoHelpInitiative.org.
Okay.
Jay Hayes, ChicagoHelpInitiative.org. And if anybody wants it, I can make that available to them.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous. And all of your coordination efforts, I can see why your nickname is the mayor of Michigan Avenue.
Queen.
A queen. That's even better. Forget being the mayor, the queen of Michigan Avenue.
Nickname doesn't mean as much today because I... You know, there are other people that have come on board to do so much. But as I said, we've got so much more work to do. So we'll see what happens about getting Michigan Avenue back on its feet with our retailers and stuff. So we'll see. But one more thing I'll
sure.
say. I oftentimes wondered who was the biggest beggar, me or our guests. Because I'm always with my hand out asking for something. And you know, one of the things that I learned a long time ago is if you don't ask, you don't get. And so that's how I've been able to get, you know, Looking Glass and
sure.
this one and that one. And my first meal was Mark Shulman from Eli's Place for Steak when it was on Chicago Avenue where Lurie's Children's Hospital was.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark is one of the most generous people in the city. And he said, of course. And I said I was going to talk to all the other hotels and restaurants in the neighborhood involved with the association. And I said, can I tell them that you're going to do it? And he said, sure. And so I went to the next night. I said, I need a meal for 150 people, hot meal, et cetera. He said, oh, I don't know, Jackie. And I said, Mark's going to do it. And they all fell in line. So again, you have to learn how to maneuver. And I've done that. And it's been a blessing. And it pays back. People are paid back for being involved. So,
well, Jackie, I can honestly tell you that, as I think anyone with Catholic Charities knows, it is a privilege to beg for God's poor. And you do it so well. And I am so amazed at all of the different programs from the Looking Glass, the cultural portion, the shelter, the mental health and addiction services and you know, physical health that you provide, the veterans resources. Chicago Help Initiative is just an amazing organization that you have partnered with many others, but it needs a queen to drive it, and you have done an amazing job. And if people want to get more involved, can they get in touch with you at jhayes@chicagohealthinitiative.org?
Yes, please. That would be wonderful. And I can send them a whole list of organizations that we work with, a lot of information that would help them understand. What we did when winter was approaching, in addition to asking for bag meals, we asked for hats, gloves, and scarves. But now we're into the next phase of things that we're asking for. So because people need that, you know.
Sure.
And we'll see what happens. But thank you for allowing me to tell you about Chicago Help Initiative. I appreciate it so much.
Well, Jackie, I appreciate you taking your time today to be with our listeners and talk about your wonderful organization. And again, listeners, if you would like to see the amazing documentary, I Have a Name, or you want to get involved, or you have something that you would like to donate to the Chicago Health Help Initiative, give Jackie Hayes an email at jhayes@chicagohealthinitiative.org. Thank you so much for being with us. Jackie, God bless you and all the work that you do. And when we come back, we're going to have Liz Yor talking to us about the upcoming Vatican Health Conference. This is Loretta Frelick, guest host on listener-supported Winds of Change, WNDZ 750 AM.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
The problem of sexual abuse of clergy will not be solved and healed by yet another policy, a new code of conduct, a new set of guidelines and investigations. In his Theology of the Body, St. John Paul II pointed out that Christ himself always brought a moral question back to the human heart, the place of our fundamental orientation to all of life. The Church is paying for decades of a mistaken notion in seminary formation that the question of a priestly candidate's sexual integration was essentially inconsequential to the character and duties intrinsic to his male celibate priesthood. The truth is, seminary formation needs to form a candidate to see his very manhood as defined by his priesthood, and vice versa. Being called father must be an existential reality to him, and not just a title. If he is truly mystical father, then he must necessarily have a bride. This spousal reality of his male celibate priesthood must be as real to the male candidate as it is to a man who is sacramentally married to an earthly wife. A seminary must be formed from his heart that he is fully man, fully priest, and to define his celibacy in terms of a choice for love and fruitfulness in the mystical sense, and not in terms of what the man is denied or gives up. Along with the mystical view of his manhood and priesthood, seminary formation must equip the candidate with the necessary ascetical discipline and systems of fraternal support to live the celibate male priesthood in an integrated way. My recommendation would be to design seminary formation through the lens of St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body, which taught that the spousal mystery represented the fundamental element of human existence in the world.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm guest host Loretta Frelick on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And we welcome to the program now Elizabeth Yor. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Hello, Loretta, my dear friend. How are you?
I'm just grand, and I'm so grateful to you, my friend, for coming on the program. I just want to share with our listeners your generosity. As a prosecutor, I first heard you talk about working for DCFS and looking for a lost child, and you found this lost child in Africa. And I thought to myself, wow, that's some amazing woman. But I think our listeners should know the graciousness of Liz Yor. I had a tough case, and I was coming up on a lot of just huge brick walls. And I remember calling you saying, Liz, what do I do? And you gave me such fabulous advice that resulted in a guilty. And I have to just really Thank you. You don't just walk the or you don't just talk the talk, you walk it. And so you bring these incredible credentials as a member of the Heartland Institute delegation. You traveled to the Vatican in 2015 to urge Pope Francis to reexamine his reliance on the UN population control proponents who supported climate change. You've served as special counsel at HARPO for Oprah Winfrey. And you also were general counsel for the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. So you have just these incredible credentials that allow you to speak to today's issue of the Vatican Healthcare Conference. Now, Liz, I got to tell you, when I first saw this, I was stunned. Can you tell us about what's going on with this? Because I can't figure it out.
You know, Loretta, since November 2013, only 6 months after Pope Francis was elevated to the chair of Peter, I've been following the Vatican and their various conferences. I also met the Pope. I went over in November of 2013 to attend the Human Trafficking Conference in the Vatican. And it is then that I started kind of getting the sense that something was going on there that was, frankly, not Catholic. And so, and I've written a lot, spoken on these issues, and all of a sudden this fifth International Vatican Conference was announced, and it's going to be held as a virtual conference. It's going to be held May 6th through the 8th, and sponsored by one of the pontifical councils, and the title is Exploring the Mind, Body, and Soul. And like you, Loretta, when I sent this conference to people, they were like, oh, Liz, this is a hoax. Oh, come on. Liz, this must be in Babylon B. You know, this satirical site, right? And unfortunately, it wasn't, because if you look at the logo, and it's up on my website, Your Children, in one of my articles, it has that Michelangelo moment in the Sistine Chapel where God is breathing life into man, and it's, you know, touching, the two fingers touching. And, of course, the fingers in the logo for the conference are covered in antiseptic gloves. They, you know, so it is really appropriating this magnificent Sistine Chapel, beautiful artwork, and unfortunately updating it to the 2021. But as satirical as the logo is, the conference lineup, Loretta,
is
shocking. and, you know, it has, as first of all, let me talk, all the media moderators, there's about eight media moderators, all from the United States, an impressive lineup: Robin Robinson, Meredith Vieira, Katie Couric, Amy Warbeck, Mehmet Oz, Sanjay Gupta. So there's some very impressive media people. There are no media members of the press from any other country except the United States. Now, keep in mind, my working theory is that this is a conference specifically for the skeptical Americans, the Americans who are beginning to doubt Dr. Fauci, who are doubting the you know, the lockdown and the suppression of, you know, America and the rest of the world over this, frankly, treatable, dangerous but treatable virus. So, who is in the lineup? Dr. Fauci kicks it off. And my thought in reading kind of the tea leaves is that Fauci has really begun, the walls, I think, are closing in on Fauci. And I think this is an effort to use the prestige of the Vatican, the moral voice of the Vatican, to prop up Tony Fauci. There is what is so shocking and troubling to me as a Catholic. They're the CEOs of Moderna and Pfizer, you know, who are using abortive products in their vaccines. There is, you know, Dr. Fauci has been, you know, he was the one who said early on in this that everybody had to be locked down, but it was fine for people who are going to same-sex bathhouses, just be careful, that they could continue to meet and, do whatever they do. So his cohort is a gentleman by the name of Dr. Francis Collins, who is very pro-abort. He's the director of the National Institute of Health. So those two, along with many other doctors who are proposing much of what Tony Fauci is, are going to be present for the conference. And what is troubling to me and what has been troubling over the last 8 years is there has never been, in the 8 years of this papacy, a contrary voice, an opposing voice, a dissenting voice to any issue. And the same is true about this conference. But this is where the what I call the Twilight Zone begins.
The conference really begins.
The conference, and this is another kind of educating moment for people. When they have celebrities at conferences, they're using the celebrities to hook the young kids,
sure.
To hook all of us to, you know, put our intelligence, our reason aside, and to be, you know, stars in our eyes. Oh, well, they're there, so that must, you know, the
sure.
Vatican has been notorious to have Katy Perry talk about transcendental meditation. Leo DiCaprio has been there, George and Amal Clooney. So when, you know, in my opinion, the celebrities are trotted out, it's a warning sign, it's a red flag. So here are the celebrities, and I'm not kidding. These are the celebrities that are going to be speaking at this conference. First of all, Chelsea Clinton. What Chelsea knows, I have no idea about mind, body, and spirit, but she is going to talk about health policy, what we need to do to set up a strategy for an international health policy. Additionally, we have that great thinker and intellectual from the Home Shopping Network. I can't even say it. Cindy Crawford.
Oh, my gosh.
Again. I know. I'm not kidding. The model Cindy Crawford is going to be talking about beauty from the inside and out. I mean,
she does have that melon serum that's constantly on the infomercial. So
well, I know.
Maybe there'll be goodie bags and people will get a free sample.
I know. I mean, she's such a hawker, you know? I mean, maybe she's going to give, you know, Tony Fauci, St. Tony Fauci will be beatified there, and then she'll hand out her own goodie bags there, for all I know. And to represent all the opera lovers out there, we're going to have at the conference, I'm not kidding you, Renee Fleming.
Now, oh, my gosh.
I know. She's a lovely, obviously, enormously gifted, talented opera singer, but health policy, then it gets worse. I hope everybody's sitting down or pulling off the road when they hear this.
Yes.
Joe Perry, the lead singer of the rock band Aerosmith.
Oh, come on.
Seriously, I know. That's what I said. Now, I mean, obviously we have to reach out to the rock fans, right? They
right.
have to be represented at this conference, and so none other than, you know, Joe Perry. I never liked Aerosmith, but apparently Pope Francis does. And then, you know, this is a big constituent with PETA. The animal lovers are also have their own celebrity. And who other than that is Jane Goodall. She
oh,
will
yes.
be talking. And, you know, Jane has always been virulently pro-population control. So she is going to be presenting at the conference. Then we have Carrie Kennedy, who is head of the Robert F. Kennedy Foundation. And you always have to have a Kennedy at these conferences, right?
Right.
And it's because, the Democrats of Massachusetts have to be representing. Now, Carrie's brother is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's really been, you know, I think it's the Children's Defense Fund or Children's Health Defense. He's mm-hmm. been very active in really studying vaccines. Now, he's not invited, but his sister is. And I might add, you know, Carrie, and I bought the book, I'm sad to say, I bought her book, Being Catholic Now, because I was really curious to see who she was going to feature as, you know, the prominent Catholics in the United States who she admired. And none other than, now she had a chapter on this character, none other than her dear and close personal friend, Cardinal Ted McCarrick.
No.
Yes, seriously. This was before, of course, the scandal, but it also goes to show you about her judgment, in my opinion, because there's not a person in D.C. who didn't know about Ted McCarrick and his evil proclivities. And
she, even Terry said, Ted McCarrick brings a breath of fresh air to the church. Well, anybody who has had poor judgment, in my opinion, should be really not speaking at a health conference at the Vatican. And, you know, my question is, Loretta, did Ted McCarrick secure an invitation for his good friend, Terry Kennedy, to attend the conference and speak? So anyway, that's another gem of a political celebrity, we should say. Now, for the Naval Gazer Society, they have to be represented, and none other than Deepak Chopra will be presenting on his favorite brand of mysticism, or God knows what.
Whatever's new in the new age.
Yes, whatever's new in the new age. And then finally, now, I don't want any criticism. I am a Chicago Bear fan. And Chicago Bear fan, Brandon Marshall, former NFL player, okay, is going to be representing that large and growing control group of sports fans. So that's the lineup of the celebrities. And, you know, it's just jaw-dropping is what it is. And, you know, what concerns me mm-hmm. is that, you know, and this is my message to people, you know, whatever side you are on the health issue, the COVID issue, you know, when they trot out celebrities, whether it's, you know, political conferences, or political campaigns, that's, you know, I'm very concerned that that's kind of a red flag. Because, you know, in this day and age of the celebrity culture, as you and I know, Loretta, it's people have lost their sense of reason, their sense of questioning. It's like the stars in their eyes, you know, have you know, full confession, you know, I watched the Prince Philip funeral all weekend, but, you know, it's important for people to understand that these are serious issues.
Yes.
That require, you know, doctors and anybody, like I learned when I went to the Vatican in the climate change and human trafficking, that these are very, very complex issues that are driven by all sorts of, climate change, scientific issues, scientific questioning. And there are two very valid sides, I think one more than the other, on the climate change issue. But when you shut down, as we see in the censoring of all issues and censoring of the truth that we're all experiencing in the cancel culture, then you know that the truth is being suppressed. And you, as an educated person, are not allowed to hear both sides of the issue and make a rational decision about where you want to pursue your life and decisions that you need to make based on listening to the evidence. I mean, as lawyers, we understand the importance of the truth,
yes,
presenting the evidence, the unvarnished evidence, as best we can so that we can come to the truth. And in truth is justice. And yet, that's going out the window in the cancel culture. So what, you know, to me, what's really happening, and Klaus Schwab, who everybody should really pay attention, he's the founder of the Davos Forum, that's the World Economic Forum that happens every year where the mighty, the rich, and the famous go to discuss how they're going to suppress the middle class around the world and change the world. He said in his book, I mean, it's like the globalists are all coming out of the woodwork. It's like, it's here, it's happening, we're not going to pretend anymore. And I call him here, Klaus Schwab, says the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reimagine and reset our world. And, you know, the left is great about euphemism, and they're also great because they're able to use the celebrity culture. But euphemism, you know, the great reset, sustainable development, all the climate change, all those euphemistic words and phrases are there to camouflage the real, in my opinion, tyrannical agenda that is happening through the use of the pandemic and the lockdown and the other, you know, tyrannical strategies that are being put in place. The Great Reset, in my opinion, after doing a lot of study and research, is the New World Order. This is the rolling out of the, you know, New World Order. And like every world, man needs a spiritualism. And this spiritualism is not the, you know, five main religions that have been on this earth for centuries. It is the new spiritualism is what they're calling the one world religion, the Gaia, where man becomes dehumanized and nature is elevated. And you will see that in the climate change movement, it's that man needs to be suppressed, and which is absolutely contrary to the Bible, which says man should dominate nature. God put nature on this earth so that man could live, breathe, eat, be nourished, and enjoy the beauty of nature, not the other way around, you know.
Amen, amen. And when we come back from our break, you can address more as to how we can respond to this reset and this agenda. I'm guest host Loretta Frelick on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through eighth grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
This is Loretta Frelick, and I'm back with Liz Yore, and I am just getting educated in the agenda of the reset. And Liz, what else can you tell us?
Well, I want to leave people with this, one of my favorite quotes from G.K. Chesterton. He wrote, "We do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." And, you know, sadly, I'm seeing kind of the other way around, that the church is moving with the elite globalists. And, you know, you and I, having been in kind of the trenches with the evil that exists in the world, fighting it, you know, trying to get justice for victims, we have seen in many respects, you know, the destruction of the family and what happens to children and teenagers and families when they're, you know, they don't have a supporting mother and father. We've seen also the murder of truth, that truth is not, you know, being addressed, explained, and is not able to be a part of the societal discussion about what we need to do in order to have a, you know, a Christian world, a Judeo-Christian world that lifts up the family, that protects children, that embraces the truth. And so, I would really urge both priests, clergy, certainly our bishops, that they really begin to embrace not the Great Reset, but the reestablishment of Judeo-Christian themes as well as a culture of life. And it all goes back to the culture of life, doesn't it, Loretta?
It all goes
back to the culture of life. And we all learned with those heroes in the 1970s who took on Roe versus Wade, who fought the battle when no one would, when it was so, quote-unquote, uncool to be pro-life, that you become unrelenting in battling for truth and for goodness and lift up Christ Church as really the standard bearer of who will lead the fight to reclaim our magnificent country with its freedoms, with its humanity, and, you know, with its ability to really thrive as a global voice for good. But make no mistake, in my opinion, this is going to be a battle royale because they have been planning, the globalists have been planning since the 1920s for this moment. And so as a result, I think it's important to really take on this issue right now, and we all have to be warriors in this fight. And the campaign needs to begin now. If everybody can play a role, whether it's talking to your teachers, your administrators, going on school boards, getting your children to understand about the history of the United States, educating yourself about communism and about what it's done. And the Catholic Church has always been that obstacle to communism. And many, many great Catholic cardinals and bishops and priests died as a result of that. But the communists understand that it is the Catholic Church that is their greatest opponent. And we have to continue that battle. And it's the laity, I'm afraid, that's going to have to really step up their game in battling. Because the Great Reset is the communist tyranny of the world order. And that's what we're facing. It's not pretty. I wish I could say it was something else. But it's upon us. This is the fight of our generation.
Amen. Well, Liz, I cannot thank you enough. You are simply amazing. You've opened my eyes in this short time we had together. What can we do in response to this conference?
My suggestion is to call your archdiocese, your diocese, protest. Write the papal nuncio in Washington, D.C. Just be unrelenting. This is an abomination. It's frankly making the Catholic Church a laughingstock. And the laity in the pews have the ability to express their voice and to be unrelenting until this conference is canceled.
Amen. Well, and I'm still stunned at Chelsea Clinton being invited with her. She is such a proponent of abortion. I mean,
she is.
Whose health is she there to talk about? The mother, the baby? I don't know, because they're at risk with her beliefs and her policies. And I personally, when I saw this, I thought it was a joke. I really did. I thought it was like, you know, fake news kind of. And then I saw the image that you described from the Sistine Chapel with the gloves on, the surgical gloves on. And I thought, how dare they? How dare they take something so holy and sacred, these beautiful paintings, and use it to their advantage? And yet we need to wake up, because you're right. And Liz, I hope you will come back and talk more about the Great Reset, about globalism and this conference. I am so grateful to you. God bless you in all that you do, and may Saint Michael the Archangel walk with you every day of your life. I am guest host Loretta Freilich on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
What? what's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take.